Dear congregation, in many ways, the month of November is a special month. This year, Advent season in the church calendar begins in November, the last Lord's Day of November. So today is the first Sunday of the Advent season, and we will begin to hear sermons about how God the Father sent God the Son into this world to come here and to live among us and to suffer and to die for sinners like all of us are. But not only does Advent remind us of the first coming of the Lord Jesus, but for us specifically of His return. We begin to think of this in November this year. Not only that the Lord Jesus came to live and to suffer and die, but also that we begin to think of the fact that He was raised from the dead, that He arose on high, and that He is now sitting at the right hand of His eternal Father, and from there ever lives to intercede for all those who come unto God by Him. The month of November is also a special month for the Heritage Reformed Church of Chilliwack, because it is 2 years ago this month that you first began to gather in this place to worship together. And if we just think of how the Lord has so richly blessed you as a congregation, from the very beginning giving you office bearers, enabling them to serve you in the office of deacons and elders. How the Lord, in His providence and mercy, sent to you Mr. Claver for some time. How he preached the Word of God to you, and how the Lord blessed the work of His servant. How you called, using the means, Pastor Elshout, and how he was led of the Lord to accept your call. How he has come and labored among you. And when we consider how the Lord has blessed the preaching of His Word in your midst, how He has given increase in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has given increase in numbers, but especially in His grace. How the Lord has given you peace and unity and brotherly love. Oh, how you need to cherish this and always realize it is a gift from God Himself that you may never take for granted. Always acknowledge the Lord God Almighty. So as a church, November, a special month, but also for some of us as individuals, November, such a special month. We think of Mr. Krull, the oldest member of the congregation, celebrating his 85th birthday last week. How he acknowledged to us how it is all of God's grace. It is the Lord's sustaining hand that every year and every day is a gift from God's hand. Children, do you realize it too? That every minute of your life, every breath you take, is a gift from God. And none of us deserve even one breath. There are others celebrating birthdays, even today. What a special time. And then think of a couple among us, the Van Hertogs, who celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. So many reasons to be filled with thanksgiving in this day. How the Lord has led you through so many years together, through joys and sorrows. And you must acknowledge too, the Lord is gracious, proves Himself to be a faithful, covenant-keeping God. Lives up to His name, Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty. Proving that His word is true. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then we think of special occasions. But not only special occasions this morning that we call special, but think of it this way. Each new day that you and I receive from the Lord is a special occasion. Every time we may wake up in the morning is a very special occasion. It is a gift from God. Every Sunday that we may come together here is a special occasion. It is all a gift from the Lord. And when we consider now for a few moments this morning the Lord's dealings with us, then must we not say with the psalmist, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." Do we ever stop and ask ourselves, why is the Lord so good to us? Why does the Lord continue with us? Why does he return to us time after time? Why are we still here as individuals and as families and as congregation? Why are we not destroyed? Why are we not wasting away somewhere? Why is that? Why may we come here this morning together under the preaching of God's holy word? Why? Is it because the Lord looks down from heaven this morning and looks on us and sees even one person here who deserves to hear his word? Would you dare to raise your hand and say, "That's me"? Not a single one. You know what the answer to that question is? You find it in our text this morning, in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Thus far the words of our text. And we want to consider our theme this morning by the covenant mercies of Jehovah. First of all, we are not consumed. Secondly, his compassions fail not. In the third place, his faithfulness is great. And then a question: what is our response? By the covenant mercies of Jehovah, we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. His faithfulness is great. And what is our response? The way our text is written in Hebrew, you can say it this way: by the mercies of Jehovah it is that we are not consumed, and that his compassions have no end. The first thing that is mentioned is the mercies of Jehovah. That has to be our focus. Our main attention is drawn here to the mercies of Jehovah, the Lord's mercies. And the very fact that they are called here the Lord's mercies tells us that these are covenant mercies, because his name is Jehovah, faithful, covenant, keeping God of his church. He is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, who keeps truth forever. And it is his mercies, Jehovah's covenant mercies. That word mercies is a very rich word. And often in the Bible it's translated with different words. Sometimes it is called God's kindness or God's loving kindness. In other places, His kindnesses in plural, or His goodness. And this word mercies of Jehovah refers to His covenant love. He is faithful to His covenant. He says in Psalm 89 verse 28, "My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him." You think of the Lord God, how He dealt with His people Israel. And He brought them out of the land of Egypt and led them through the desert. And He was faithful to them, even though they were unfaithful to Him. If you want a definition of that term, the Lord's mercies, then think of the fact that God refused to wash His hands of His people Israel. And He refuses to wash His hands of His people today. That is God's mercies. That is God's loving kindness. No wonder the psalmist so often says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." Isaiah says in chapter 63, "I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord," using that same term, the mercies of the Lord. In the end of that verse, the same thing, "according to the multitude of His loving kindnesses." It is only because of the Lord's mercies that you and I are not consumed. And children, that word "consumed," that means to be all gone, disappeared, done away with forever. The only reason that we are not consumed is the mercies of Jehovah. That word "consumed" is used in Numbers 14, verse 33, where it's used this way: "Your carcasses shall be wasted in the wilderness." It's talking of decomposed bodies. We are not consumed. We are not decomposed bodies. In another place in Joshua 8, it is said, "They are fallen on the edge of the sword. They are consumed." In 1 Kings 14, it is translated, "They are all gone." All gone. And in Psalm 9, that same word for "consumed" is translated as "coming to a perpetual end." And we are not wasted away. We are not all gone. We are not come to an end. We are not destroyed. Why? Only one reason: because of the covenant mercies of Jehovah. It's the only reason. No reason in ourselves. So Paul writes in the letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." That's why. Because of the Father of mercies, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those two go together. Father and His Son and mercies. That the Lord's mercies are seen, are found in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not destroyed. Is it not a miracle to you? Is it not a wonder to you that we are not destroyed? When we consider what it is that we deserve, how that for even one sin, we deserve God's eternal wrath poured out upon us. We deserve to be consumed by God's wrath, even this very moment. Yet we are here. We are here as a congregation, as families, as individuals, for only one reason: the covenant mercies of Jehovah. Do you want to see the mercies of Jehovah? Then think with me for a moment of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There you see the mercies of Jehovah in a person, in His Son. There you see the Lord Jesus Christ, the only innocent one, the only one who did not deserve to be consumed. You see Him consumed. You see Him made sin for sinners like you and me. For He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so when we speak of the covenant mercies of Jehovah, we are directing our attention to a person. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest sinner here is invited to come to this Lord Jesus Christ and to receive this mercy through Him alone. It is by the covenant mercies of Jehovah that we are not consumed. Secondly, that His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. That word compassions is very closely related to the word mercy. It's speaking of the tender mercy of the Lord, rooted in His free love unto sinners. So we are taught to pray in God's holy word, in the Psalms, for example: "Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let Thy tender mercies speedily come to meet us, for we are brought very low." Daniel prayed in chapter 9, verse 9, "To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against Him." His compassions have no end. The compassions of Jehovah are infinite in measure. And again, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ when He was on this earth. So often, you read in the Gospels how He showed compassion. Many times on crowds, on whole multitudes of people. We can think of the congregation too then. A crowd of people. And the Lord Jesus in Matthew 9, for example, was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. And they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Another time He says to His disciples, "I have compassion on the multitude." Why? "Because they continue with Me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." There is something of the compassions of Jehovah in Jesus. "I will not send them away," He said. In Matthew 20, verse 34, Jesus had compassion on blind men and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. But Jesus showed compassion not only on multitudes of people, but on individual people too, on individual sinners one by one also. Think of the leper who came to the Lord Jesus and who cried out to Him, "Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." And what do you read in Mark 1? Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and said unto him, "I will, be thou clean." You think of the widow of Nain going to bury her only son. Then it says of the Lord Jesus, he had compassion upon her and said unto her, weep not. Think of the picture of the father in the parable of the son who came back to his father when he was yet a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. All examples of the compassion of God, of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Compassion towards sinners. Not a single one deserved it. Not a single one here this morning deserves the Lord's compassions. And yet many of us have tasted already of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. By His grace we have believed His word when He said, I have compassion. The Lord has worked faith through the preaching of the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our souls have been fed through the preaching of the word. Faith has not only been given, but has been made to grow. Faith has increased through the preaching, through the use of God's holy sacrament. There has been growth in grace and in knowledge by means of Bible studies, by whether as individuals or as a group, by attendance of prayer meetings and sermon discussions. The Lord blesses the means, that is, of His compassion. It is not anything in us. Do we not stand amazed this morning at the compassion of Jehovah when we consider who we are? Must we not say then, I am not consumed at this moment because of the compassions of the Lord. They are new every morning. Children, when you wake up in the morning and you first open your eyes, do you ever think that this is of the Lord's mercies? That this is because of the compassions of the Lord. That's new every morning. Because every morning we don't deserve to wake up. Every morning that's brand new again. The Lord begins our day by showing us His mercies. And children, you need to think of it too. Because you are born of sinful parents. And so you don't deserve God's compassions and mercies and God's faithfulness either. We are all conceived and born in sin. And so even by being born, we deserve to be consumed. Even the fact that we are human beings at this moment testifies against us. And then add to that the millions and millions of sins that we commit in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, that we can come to no other conclusion but that we all, right at this moment, deserve to be in hell, being consumed by God's eternal wrath right now. And it is only of the compassions and the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed. Think about this morning. Children, did any of you deserve to wake up this morning? Did any of you deserve your breakfast? Whatever you may have had for breakfast. Did any of you deserve your clothing or a safe ride to church? Do we deserve to be here with a Bible in our hands, with God's Word open before us? Do we deserve to be here gathered with God's people in the house of the Lord? These are all new compassions that the Lord shows us again this morning. It is all because of Jehovah's covenant mercies and His compassions. that are founded in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are still here. Because of the covenant mercies of Jehovah, His faithfulness is great. Great is thy faithfulness, our text says. God's faithfulness is so great that there has never, ever been an exception to it. The Lord has dealt with thousands and millions of sinners. And there's not a single person on earth today, and there's not a single person in heaven today, and there's not a single person in hell today who can say that God did not deal with me according to His faithfulness. God is faithful. He keeps truth forever. He keeps His threatenings. He keeps His promises. He never fails. There is no exception whatsoever to His faithfulness. There is not a single divine promise that has been unfulfilled by God. Joshua said to the children of Israel, in chapter 23, verse 14, not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. He does not fail. He is faithful. It is great faithfulness. God's faithfulness is so great that He remembers every promise that He ever makes, and He takes care to honor His promises. And when you believe God and take Him at His word and plead upon His promises and embrace those promises, He fulfills His promise. It's what He has promised to do. You who trust in the Lord, you find Him to be ever faithful. Not only in the great things, but also in the little things of life. Jehovah keeps His covenant oath forever. And dear believers among us, God's faithfulness is so great that no sin of yours is going to make Him unfaithful. Even when you believe not anymore, God abideth faithful. He changes not. You do. And unbelief is the most damning thing. God continues on. You may rebel at times against God's law. You may at times wander away from what He has shown you in His word. He may have to come and chastise you with many, many stripes. But He still says, My loving kindness will I not utterly take away from them, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. He cannot fail, even though you do, time after time. You may be, even right now, seemingly under the cloud of God's displeasure. You may even be provoking Him at this moment by your transgressions. Yet He will have compassion. Great is His faithfulness. Yet He will return to you. And He will say, I am He that blotteth out their transgressions for my own sake. Not for your sake, but for my own sake. And will not remember their sins. No sin of man can make God unfaithful. God cannot lie. Let every man be a liar, but never believe that God can fail you. Think of Job. Job, in the lowest part of his life, what does he say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He is ever faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And if you at this moment, dear child of God, cannot be rejoicing in the light of his face, then trust him. In the shadow of his wings, you will find a safe place there. For near thee, all is well. Christians know by experience what it is to find roses among the thorns of life. How often the Lord takes pains and sufferings and afflictions to enrich your soul, to bring you, like messengers from the King, to bring you close to Him, and to know that in Him there are treasures that you never would have known had it not been for the way of deep afflictions. You know that that's true. Now tell it. Tell it to your family. Tell it to those who are close to you so that they may begin to hunger and thirst after the same faithful, covenant-keeping God that you serve. And the Lord Jesus Christ never refuses a hungry one who comes to Him, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. I read in a book by Spurgeon that he said, mercy's door stands ever open, and Christ is the host. He's the host of the gospel inn, and He stands always ready to receive every soul that comes to Him, because above the door of the gospel inn is this promise, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Because of the covenant mercies of Jehovah, we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. His faithfulness is great. What is our response? We are not consumed. And we are called to live a life in this world in response to the covenant mercies of Jehovah, in response to His compassions, in response to His great faithfulness. What is our response? What ought it to be? Must it not be a response of new praise to God? Those of you who know the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ and who are always receiving those mercies, ought not our lips to be praising Him hour by hour at every opportunity we have, whether in private or in public, even moment by moment? Let us respond with new praise unto God. Let us renew that zeal to praise the Lord. And let us respond not only with new praise, but with new actions. Praising with our lips is wonderful and marvelous, but it must also match our actions, that those around us may not only hear of our faithful covenant-keeping God in Christ Jesus, but that they may see from us what He means to us and how we live in response to Him. And many times you know that in your workplace, your actions are going to speak louder than your words. And many times people will see your actions long before they hear you. Let that be not only new praise, but new actions. If you think you've already done something for the Lord's kingdom, go on and do more. No one of us can ever say, I have done enough. I'm not talking about earning salvation or paying for salvation or proving your salvation, but a life of gratitude for His compassions, for His mercies, for His faithfulness. It's like soldiers are always to be pressing forward, always to be going forward to conquer. So let us go forward. New actions, new praise, but also new faith and increased faith. Has the Lord not proved Himself to us over and over that He can be trusted, that He can be believed, that His faithfulness is so great that we can't even compare anything of ours to it? Then let us go forward, increased in faith. And if it's not working, then do what the disciples did and say to Him, Lord, increase our faith. He honors such prayers. All the compassions of our faithful covenant-keeping God in Christ Jesus speak against our unbelief. Shame on us for not believing this God. All the compassions that we see, all the evidences of His faithfulness are to confirm our confidence in Him, not in ourselves, never, but in Him alone. The Lord can well come to each of us this morning and say, Have I ever been false to you? Have I ever acted contrary to my word? Have I taken you for a little time and then cast you away? I have done no such thing. Have I been slack in blessing you? Have I been stingy in mercy? Look to my Son. Have I withheld my loving kindnesses from you? You don't dare to say that He has, do you? Oh, then how we ought to be encouraged to, by renewal, place all our confidence and trust in Him alone. God's compassions have been new every morning to every one of us, whether we are already believers in the Lord Jesus Christ or not. His compassions are new every morning. And must the Lord now come and say, how have you responded? He said in Isaiah 43, you have bought me no sweet cane with money. You haven't filled me with the fat of your sacrifice, but you have made me to serve with your sins. You have wearied me with thine iniquities. Is that what the Lord must say to us this morning? After all His compassions, after His great faithfulness, after His covenant mercies shown to us. Oh, how must we respond? Let us respond this morning by calling out, what shall we render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward us? And let us give Him new praise, new gratitude. Let us give Him our all. As it says in the book of Romans, this is your reasonable service, that you give your body a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto God. Oh, this God, whether you come to Him for the very first time this morning, or whether you return for the millionth time, He is worthy of your trust and of your confidence. He is believable. And if you have proved Him to be faithful, oh, then offer Him new prayers, even today. You know, beggars in the streets, they will sometimes say to people, help me this time and I will never ask you again. Those of us who've been to places where there are beggars, that's what you hear. That's not how we must talk to the Lord. Let us go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me this time again. And I will be back tomorrow for more. For more of thy grace. Open thy mouth wide, he says, and I will fill it. That's his promise. An exhortation to open your mouth wide, and a promise. I will fill it. We are invited this morning to the throne of mercy of a faithful, covenant-keeping God in Christ Jesus the Lord. Let us go to His throne, or go back to His throne, and expect that He will bless us. That He will hear us, not because of who we are, but because of who He says He is. And when we go, and when we return, the Lord will hear us, and the Lord will grant you grace to profess what we read in our text. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And then you will be able to add the next verse to your confession. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Amen.